Welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Tuesday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. We want to welcome you to the Refresh Radio program today. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we pray that you are having a blessed day. If you are working outside in the heat and the elements, please take care of yourself out there. It's awful hot at times, and sometimes it can sneak up on you. I remember when I was much younger, I was working outside and finally came back in. Been a long day, started at like 4:30 in the morning or something like that, and thankfully my wife was able to cool me down. And so I have a great compassion for, you know, people who are roofers and road crews and air conditioning repairmen and people who are out in the elements, construction. So do your best to take good care of yourself. Stay hydrated. We'll be praying for you today. Today we're going to go to the Gospel of Luke chapter 22, and we're going to pick up in verse number 31 today and read down through verse number 34. And it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Then he, Jesus, said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." So today we're going to wrap up this particular portion of scripture that we've been going through. But I want to let you know that the verse we just read, verse 31, comes right on the heels of Jesus bestowing upon his disciples a kingdom, that they could have fellowship with him at his table in his kingdom, and that they would sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So that's what their future looks like, because they had continued with Jesus through his trials, his hardships, his challenges, and those were only going to intensify here in the days to come. I want you to understand that God gives the gift of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge as well. It's the foundation. And as such, whenever we get in that position, we should mature in our walk with the Lord to such a degree that we are people who can make godly decisions based upon the Word of God. Now, I can tell you this. Everybody has opinions. Everybody has opinions. And most people think that their opinions are right. I have a saying that said, that's the first time I've been wrong since the last time. I have another saying that says, I'm not afraid to be wrong. I've been wrong before. I don't like being wrong, but I've been wrong before. I look at situations and evaluate them in a couple of different ways. First of all, whenever I'm assessing a situation, I ask myself, am I evaluating this from my role as a pastor, or am I evaluating this from my role as an individual? Those are two different things. So there can be songs that I like as an individual, but they're not easy to sing for our congregation. There can be songs that I don't like as an individual that our congregation absolutely loves. And so I make those decisions based upon whichever perspective needs to come into play. So I also make those decisions because I've got a role as not only a pastor, but I've got decisions to make because I'm a husband, a father, a grandfather. There are decisions that I make on a lot of different perspectives. Now, I want you to understand that just because I'm breathing and I've got an opinion doesn't mean that my opinion is the right opinion. As a believer that walks with Jesus, our decisions, the judgments that we make, which is a very unpopular topic in 2022, that there are actually people who can make a sound judgment, there needs to be somebody that says, okay, here's the Word of God. This is the foundation from which I make decisions. And if Jesus sets me in a position to make a decision for someone else's circumstance, then I'm going to base that decision not on my opinions, not on my emotions, not on my feelings. I'm going to base it on the Word of God. So there have been times when I've heard unpopular decisions, courtroom decisions that have been announced throughout America, and I wasn't on the jury or the anything like that. And I said, well, even though that's not a popular decision, that's the decision I would have made. And that decision was because of the standard that was supposed to be upheld, not on whether or not I thought the person was guilty or innocent. I was like, okay, that's the standard you've set. Well, upon that standard, then this is going to be the decision that I would have made in that circumstance. But I also realize that I don't have all of the information. Now, when we are sitting on a throne that Jesus has given to us, and we are fellowshipping with him, and we are representing him, and know that what he wants out of our decision, then we're going to make decisions that will bring glory and honor to God, not whether or not it's going to make us popular. The older I get, the less concerned I am about being popular. And I don't mean that. I mean, I'm not that popular anyway, because if I was more popular, then more people would come to the church. But I was the type of guy who wanted everybody to like me. And now I realize what I really want is for Jesus to be glorified in the decision and for him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I really want. So, that's a little bit about the fact that believers in Jesus' word, he declares believers, disciples of his, are to make the best judges, if you will, not newspaper writers, not journalists, not politicians, not people who can be bought and can be sold, but people who know the heart of God, who fellowship with him and know the Word of God and make decisions that are going to represent the holiness of God. Verse number 31, Jesus transitions and he says, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now, I don't know if Satan has ever petitioned God for me by name or you by name, but I can tell you this: Satan desires to sift you as wheat. He wants you completely stripped down. He wants everything that can be damaging to you to be done to you. That's just who he is. He is not interested in your best interest. He is interested in undermining your credibility. He is interested in doing you physical harm, relational harm, financial harm, emotional harm, and spiritual harm. That's just what he wants to do. But God has a different plan in mind, and that is this. He wants everything inside of me that is not holy taken out of the way. He wants everything that is not as good as it could be to be taken out of the way, so that I will represent Jesus in a glorious manner. So as much as we hate the pruning process, as much as we hate the sifting process, as much as we hate the refining process, all of those things, God works together for our good because we love him and are called according to his purpose. So Peter was under no disillusionment that he was perfect. He was very vocal. He was very outspoken. Sometimes his brain even kicked in before he spoke, but many times it did not. He just spoke because the silence made him uncomfortable, or he was making a rash judgment. That's not the way we make rash judgments. We should be very contemplative about the decisions that we make. So even though Satan had a plan for Peter that would shake him to his core, Jesus said, "But Simon, I have prayed for you." So today I want to reassure you that the Word of God says that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf and on my behalf. He is praying for you. He's praying for me. And not only is he praying, but the scripture says that the Holy Spirit also intercedes for us beyond our understanding. He is interceding for you. And so we've got members of the Godhead who are interceding on our behalf. And I can tell you this, the prayers may not always be stop the shaking. Their prayers are this, that your faith will not fail. That your faith will not fail. I can tell you that I have walked through some valleys with some people that radically shook their world, but it did not shake their faith. When my mother passed away, it came out of the blue, and that it wasn't expected. She hadn't been feeling well for a couple of days, but no, there was no indication, there was no panic as to thinking that she was at eternity's threshold until we got a text message and said, your mother's about to die. And that shook my world, but it didn't shake my faith. If your faith is anchored in Jesus, it is anchored to the person in all the universe that is unshakable. The enemy would try and use your circumstances to undermine your faith, so that you quit trusting God, quit believing in God, and quit serving God, quit acknowledging God. I know people that have done all of those things. But Jesus was praying for Peter, and he's praying for me, and he's praying for you, and not just the easy times, but in the extremely difficult times, he said, "I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail." Now, let me tell you what Jesus says next, and it'll tell you who's going to succeed, whether Satan's plan to sift or Jesus' prayer that your faith not fail. I'm going to tell you which one Jesus intends on winning. It says, "And when you have returned." It does not say, "And if you return." He is telling Peter, you're going to survive this. It's going to be a shaking like you've never experienced before, but you're going to survive it. "And when you return, strengthen your brethren." When you have returned, strengthen your brethren. See, the enemy thinks that the trauma and the turmoil and the problems that he can rile up in our lives, that it will make us weaker and we won't want to have anything to do with people. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus prays for us, not only that we will survive, but we will be strengthened to such a degree that we will be able to strengthen others. Jonathan was a person that strengthened David. David, when Ziklag was taken, was a person who found strength in the Lord and was able to recover all of the property and ministered to all of his men. Okay? So we just came through Father's Day. Be strengthened to such a degree in the Lord that you are able to strengthen others. Now, a lot of people think that God makes mistakes. They are mistaken. God does not make mistakes. In fact, I will tell you that God knows you better than you know yourself. I encountered a person one time. We worked in the same department of a manufacturing facility, probably one of the dirtiest jobs I ever had in my life, when oil is just spewing out of these machines and getting all over me and all over my clothes. It was slow work, but it was also extremely messy work. But I was there to represent Jesus, and a person told me, he said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to explain to God just exactly how it is down here, and then he's going to let me in because he doesn't have a clue as to what life on earth is really like. And I was like, no, you are mistaken. Jesus has perfect knowledge of what it is like down here, and to think otherwise is really kind of ludicrous if you think about it on the scope of the universe and the magnitude and the wisdom that was necessary to put in the laws of physics and all of that sort of stuff. God is a genius, and he doesn't make mistakes. He's never late. He's never early. His timing is always perfect and impeccable, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. So you've heard me tell the story of the conversation I had with my son. And I said, after this project, I'm going to slow down. He said, Dad, you're lying to yourself. And I said, you know what? You're probably right. Actually, I didn't even throw the word probably in there. I said, you're right. You're right. I want you to know I'm busier now than I've ever been before in my pastoring. And I'm older than I've ever been before. That's a bad combination. And so I tell people, I tell the truth, but the one person in the planet that I lie to more than anybody else is myself, because I don't know me as well as God knows me. I want you to understand, Peter was very full of himself, and at times he had taken the Lord aside and rebuked him and said, don't talk like that. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You don't have the things of God in mind. You've got the things of man in mind. And here on this occasion, Peter pipes up with all of his bravado, and he says, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. He's saying, I am not going to, I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to abandon you. And I will tell you, I don't think it was Peter's predetermined mindset that he was going to deny Jesus. I think it was the pressure of the moment. Because I heard a pastor say this one time, Peter had never seen Jesus on trial before. Jesus on trial was a completely different Jesus than what he was familiar with, the one who caused demons to flee and sicknesses to be healed and dead people to be raised up. And now he's being towed around in a chain by some wimpy little guards and Roman centurions. Instead of speaking the words of healing, he's now silent as a lamb. He's not seen that side of Jesus before. And he says, I don't know that man. But he doesn't only deny him once. He denies him twice, and he denies him a third time, and the rooster crows. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe a better prayer would have been, God, would you strengthen me? If you know that something is coming in my life, strengthen me before it gets here so that I am prepared to represent you well when it does. All of the disciples said the same thing, by the way. All of them denied that they were going to abandon him. But when the soldiers with the torches and the chains and the swords show up, all of a sudden people are running away, and you know, they grabbed them by their clothing. They said, okay, I got more clothes at home. You keep that outfit. I'm running away. So Jesus tells him, he said, Peter, I'm going to tell you the truth. The rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Listen, when the Bible talks about Jesus ordering our steps and directing our paths, it's not just because those words flow off the lips in a nice, balanced, soothing manner. Those words are written because they're true. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And so let me tell you what he said. Satan's asked to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that you should not, your faith would not fail. And when you've returned, strengthen your brethren. Peter says, not going to happen. Jesus said, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen before dawn, before the rooster crows. My wife said she was talking to somebody on the phone. It was work, and they must have been working remotely because they could hear the rooster crowing in the background of the conversation. And it was like mid-afternoon here. It's like, I don't know where they are, but it must be in a different time zone because I'm hearing the rooster crowing in the background. When Peter heard the rooster crow, he looked up, and guess who was looking right at him? And I will tell you this. Jesus is not necessarily in the I told you so business. Paul was. Paul said, you know, we should winter here on his prison ship to Rome. And they listened to some other voices instead. And Paul stood up and said, I told you we should have stayed back there. If we'd stayed back there, we wouldn't be in this mess here. But Jesus looked at him because not just had he told him that Satan had asked to sift him like wheat and that he would deny him before the rooster crowed three times, but he said, Peter, I've prayed for you. What are you going to remember during your trial? Are you going to remember the shaking? Are you going to remember the attack? Or are you going to remember what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has decreed over your life? Are you going to remember that he hasn't given up on you? He's praying for you. June 2022, he's praying for you. Not that you'll fail. If he was going to give up on you, he wouldn't be praying for you. When he prays, the Father listens. When he prays, things take place. And so today, I want you to know that you are loved, you are cared for, your path is being illuminated by the Word of God. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to lead you, but he's praying for you. And if you do stumble, if you do fall, he's praying that your faith will not fail. Okay? Jesus made this statement. It's one of the most challenging verses in the New Testament, as far as I'm concerned. And it says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The Bible says he's given to every person, every man, the measure of faith. And he says, when I return, will I find faith on the earth. I can tell you what has happened for me personally, and that is through the challenges of life, through the challenges of ministry, through the challenges of relocation, the fluctuations of life. I can tell you that in all of those transitions, that I have greater confidence now that God is able to solve problems, God is able to sustain the saints more than I had at the very beginning. Strengthen the brethren. Peter, I know you better than you know yourself. I know how deep you're going to stumble, but I know this. I've given you a faith that is going to cause you to come running back to me. And let me tell you one more thing about Jesus' resurrection. He told Mary, go and tell my disciples and Peter. Don't forget to tell Peter that I'm raised from the dead. Don't forget about Peter. He's not forgotten about Peter. He's not forgotten about you. If you feel like you are going through the storm of your life, I want you to fix your eyes on Jesus. I want you to open your ears and listen to what he has to say, because he's going to lead you in triumphal procession. The Bible says God always leads his people, always leads his people in triumphal procession. Doesn't mean you'll never have challenges. If you never had challenges, you'd never have triumph. You'd never have victory. But he always leads you to victory. I'm a little bit of an Oklahoma softball fan, the University of Oklahoma, and I read an article about them. And when this article was written, they had lost two games throughout the course of the year. And they said when they experienced defeat, they would stand and they would applaud for their opponents for what they succeeded. But you know what happened whenever they won? They always invited the other team onto the pitcher's mound and invite them to pray with them. Not a coach-led thing, a student-athlete-led thing. Not everybody on the team joins in, but they said, you know what? We're more about winning a softball game. We're more about living for Jesus. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. And today, the enemy may have got a punch in on you for a time or two, but I want you to know, Jesus is an immovable Savior in your life. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your faith in him. And strengthen those around you, and it'll be a great day for the kingdom of God. We'll see you next time right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.